This afternoon, I'd like to share with you a challenge that the Lord has given me this week. If I could put a title to it, it's three words, that same servant. And we'll get to how I came up with that title in a little bit. There is in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think of those scriptures. All scripture is given for a reason. There is some, we sang that song a while ago, I am learning of my Savior, precious lessons every hour. You know, we can read through scripture. I've had it before. I've read verses before and thought, I understand about that verse. And then I have somebody else come with a message about that verse and they see it from an angle that I've never thought of before. We can continually learn from the Lord. This one says there's the scriptures are given sometimes for reproof or for correction or sometimes just for warning. We're doing okay, but the Lord wants to warn us of what things could happen. I'm thinking today about the kingdom of heaven. When we read through the scripture, how many places there are that talk about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, right off from the beginning, when people would ask him, are you a king? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my servants fight. But he does have a kingdom. And it's not just over there on the other side after we breathe our last breath. I was thinking of a verse over in Colossians 1 and 13. We have been delivered from the power of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, that kingdom is right here. We sing that song, number 32. The title of it is, What a Kingdom. It says, it's a kingdom of peace. It is reigning within. It shall ever increase in my soul. We possess it right here when he saves from all sin, and it'll last while the ages shall roll. I'm thankful that we don't have to just wait until we breathe our last breath to know something about the kingdom of heaven. We can possess it right here. In Hebrews 11, it says that there were some folks that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. It's real important for me today to realize I'm passing through here. This is really my shortest existence. If I live 80 years, it'll be the shortest of my existence compared to eternity. And so these people, it said they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. And it said that they confessed that they're looking for a country. And that is a heavenly country where God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, that kingdom is not just out there on the other side after we breathe our last. It's a kingdom for us here. And there is some instruction in the Bible that tells us about that kingdom and how much we should value it. I'd like to look over in Matthew. And I think this today just kind of opens our mind just a little bit to information he gave us about the kingdom of heaven. This one in 1344. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath, and buyeth that field. You know, this verse right here, the kingdom of heaven is like that. There's just a lesson in that for me right here. Salvation should bring joy to me. You remember when Brother Marty held the meeting, and he said, use the verse, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Salvation intended it to be a joyful experience. It's not just, I gave up all these things. My desire is there, but I gave them up because I want to go to heaven. No, there can be joy in living for the Lord. This one said he sold everything he had, and he bought that field. Then we have that song, song number 64. Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. My soul can never cease to sing such love and peace abound. You know, sometimes if we go through life and things start getting difficult for us, I want to go back and realize, you know what? Salvation was intended to be the sweetest thing that comes to me. I want to be like this man, willing to sell everything I have, all of my thoughts, all of my desires, my ambitions for myself, and buy that field. It will be worth it all. Then I look at this next verse. Here's another one, 45th verse. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found the pearl of great price, you know, I wonder how he knew what its value was. I know today there has to be somebody that knows the value of a pearl, because people have been able to chemically make something that looks just like an expensive pearl, and they have to be able to know the difference. This man, I believe he wasn't just looking for the external look of it and say, that's what I want. You remember what they say about gold? They would find something that looked almost like it. In fact, they would call it fool's gold. It looked just like it, but it had hardly any value to it. We want to be able to recognize the value of salvation in 2024. This man did. It says, when he found a pearl of great price, he saw its value compared to other things. Talk about value. This morning I had to go to work about 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's supposed to be asleep at that time of the day. But the downtown area, there were city workers all over the downtown area at 3:30 in the morning, blocking off streets. You know what? They felt like they found a pearl of great price. You know what that is? What's happening, I guess, today is the football or the basketball team is supposed to be going to the playoffs or something. So they're going to have partying in the streets today. Well, first thing I thought of is, you remember the verse that says, let not him that put on his harness boast as he that taketh it off. They're rejoicing because they're getting to go to the playoffs. You need to wait until you find out if you come out on the other side. But you know what? This is what the world sees as a pearl of great price. Willing to get up early in the morning. If it would have rained all day today, they'd be willing to be out there. What about me? I want to be able to see. You know what? There are some things that have great value. When Jesus says, my peace I want to give you, it's not like the world can give. I want to tap into that, and I want to be able to have it in my life. The value of salvation, we get to see it in several different places. One man saw it when he said, it said, his delight, this Psalms 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yes. And in that law, he meditates day and night. And you know what? He's not doing it because the church said, when you come in Sunday, we want to find out how many minutes have you. My phone is doing it today. It even somehow does it on Sundays. How many minutes have you spent on your phone this week? It's up so many minutes or it's down so many minutes. What if we had that? Somebody was in charge when we came to meeting and they're checking to see how much time have you spent reading the Word of God. Well, this one, we don't need that. It said his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Another verse was in Psalms 42:1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I want, as I look at what the world sees as real valuable today, the sports world sees some things as real valuable today. You know what? I want to have some things that are real value in my life. It's the things that will bring peace. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, and there's a lot of different examples in the Bible, but I want to look at another one. This one, some of those give us warning. One of those was Matthew 25:1. The kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins. You know, all these folks had a plan to make heaven their home. All of them planned, in this story, they planned to be ready for the wedding when it came. But time passed. How much time, it doesn't even tell us. But it does tell us that it came at a time that they did not expect us. They expected at midnight. There was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And I was looking in the commentary on it. It said this is expressing the state of the Jews and the professing Christians. It's the state of the visible church at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and also in the day of judgment. You know, the kingdom of heaven is not talking about folks out in the world that have no desire to live right. This is those folks that plan to make it. There's some more. What does it say? I am learning of my Savior. It's not just the good things he's teaching me, but the warnings that he brings to me to be on guard. We sing that song number 302, My Soul Be On Thy Guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. And then it says, oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle, never give it o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. The kingdom of heaven. I want to be able to be in it all the way from here. What does it say over in from death to life? It says, their light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. This kingdom of God that is here, that it just transfers right on over, and I make heaven my home is what I want. There were some messages that were given to the churches in Revelation. To Ephesus, it says, I have somewhat against you. Remember the verses that we read? All scripture is given for a reason. Some of it is to exhort, some of it is to reprove, to rebuke, but all of it is to help us to be able to make heaven our home. It says, the thing that I have against you is that you have left your first love. And you know where I want to be learning is, you know what, in this day and time, I want to renew it myself. I want to go back to that first love that I have and rekindle the flame of my love for the Lord. There is another church that instruction was given to. The Laodiceans said, thou sayest that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. One of the things that I need to learn from this is, it's not what I think about myself. Or it says, you were not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. To do it is not wise. I need the Lord to be able to search me and show me about myself. It says that we're saying, I could say I'm rich and increased with goods, but then how the Lord saw it was different. He said, knowest not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But you know, all those people, there were adjustments that needed to be made in their life. But the Lord was coming to them all and saying, there's an opportunity to make adjustments in those. And I'm thankful for that. There was another example in Matthew 13 and 24, the kingdom of heaven. And then it told about the tares and the wheat. The wheat was there. And you remember when the servant said, what should we do? Should we go in and pull out the tares? He said, no, let them both grow up together. Lest in, you know what, this is an example. It said the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. So you know that in my picture of my mind, I see the church of God itself is pure. This, you see these places where the Lord is warning, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. It has a potential to a pure person, strong desire to make heaven my home. There are things that want to come against me, and this one all gives us warning. It warns me that I need to be real careful that I not have a form of godliness, but I deny the power thereof. So those are some of the things that was that instruction was given. But here's what brought the challenge to me this week. There are other, you know, we would like to see a lot of description of heaven. There's not a whole lot of description of heaven. But if you read through and find the description of the kingdom of heaven, there are many, many places in the scripture that talks us about the kingdom of heaven is like this. And in many of those places, it's telling me what I can do to stay in it. And I want to look at another one now. In Matthew 18, and this is where the challenge started coming for me. In Matthew 18 and 21, When Peter came to him, you know, if you read in this before this, they were not even talking about the question that Peter's bringing to them. You hear the term out of the blue. It's almost like Peter just had something in his mind. I just want to go ahead and ask you this. Peter said to him, 21st verse, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And look at the next verse. So he gives him that little information, and then he gives him an example. And I want us to look at that example. Kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. 23rd verse. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had. You ever read those and try to put yourself and your family in that picture? We live in a free country where we say, that never happened to me. You know, when I read the commentary on this, that was a common thing back then. If you owed money and you could not pay it, they could just take you everything you have, sell your children, sell your wife, and payment to be made. This isn't just a story, it could never happen. So I think of the seriousness of that. If I were in that place and my family is about to be sold, here is what happened. 26 verse, a servant fell down, worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now look at this 27th verse. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. How would you feel if you knew this is just about to happen? I'm going to be sold, but not just me, but my children, my family, all of us will be sold, everything I have, and taken up for a payment. And then the king says, I erase your debt. You know, I think this part of this story is part of the instruction the Word of God wants to give to me. Yes. Every one of us has been forgiven a huge debt by the Lord. I saw a song yesterday. It said, I had a debt I could not pay. Yes. He paid the debt that he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. This part of the story seems kind of amazing. But you know, it should make me realize how much I have been forgiven of. Not just the sins that I was forgiven of, but the power through grace that is able to keep me from sinning day by day is a huge debt that I owed and was pardoned for that. Sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I need to always remember the debt that I was forgiven of and let it cause my actions to be changed because of that. I thought of Jonah. He had an experience where he was in need of mercy. He was in need of the Lord looking down in mercy on him. And he called out to him. He begged for help from the Lord. And the Lord sent that help to him. I just wonder the feeling that Jonah had when he's on dry land again. So thankful for the mercy of the Lord to him. And now he goes and does what he is supposed to do. The message he is supposed to give to Nineveh. He was forgiven of a large debt. But then he meets up with some people. He does what the Lord tells him. But you know what he failed to have was what this king had. He was moved with compassion. You know, we need to be moved with compassion when we look on the world around us and the direction it's going, and I have to say, Lord, help me, because some things, it's moving downhill so fast that I can spend some time thinking, it's kind of like James and John saying, maybe it's time to call down fire out of heaven and destroy some of this stuff. But you know what? This one had compassion. And I look at Jonah. What would it have been if when he gave the message, he had with compassion said, "Let me tell you what God has just done for me. He can do the same for you if you repent." Well, here's the title. What gave me the title is that 28th verse. The same servant went out. You know, when I look at that, sometimes we use a little saying, "You're not going to believe this." Have you ever told somebody something that it's true? What you have to say is true, but it is so hard to believe, you'll just tell them right up, "You're not going to believe this, and I'm about to tell you." I think it's almost like Jesus in this story is saying, "You're not going to believe this. After this king has had that much compassion on him, this same servant," you know, I think he's wanting to make sure you understand, "I've got a lot of servants, and this wasn't just another servant had a problem with somebody else. I want you to understand that it was the same servant that had so much forgiven, that should have had so much compassion, just ready to tell everybody, 'Don't worry about that. My master has had so much compassion on me, I'll have compassion on you.'" But it says that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. You know, how could he so soon forget the forgiveness that was given to him and not pass it down to somebody else?
Yes.
And then I have to say, "Lord, help me." Because it was like the light came on. The Lord wasn't just giving this little story back there for people long ago. He was giving it for me. What if this story was written as the story of my life and the things that happened in my life? The debt of sin that I was freely forgiven of, and then someone does me wrong.
Yes.
If this was written out, would the Lord say to the people that are going to read it, "You're not going to believe this. Dan was forgiven of so much, and then this happened, and he had so much trouble with having compassion. He went out and took his fellow servant by the throat." I say from this, "Lord, help me."
Yes,
I'm going to have in my mind, right up in the front of my mind, how much I've been forgiven of, how much the Lord has done for me. And then when something happens in my life, I compare the two together. And I find out, whoa, this is very small compared to the mercy of the Lord for me. Because it goes on down in the end of that. It says, 32nd verse, "His Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?'" Could he use that same thing in instructing me today? "Dan, remember how much you've been forgiven of." And you know what? It wasn't just on the day I got saved. I find his mercy is extended to me continually, instructing me, leading me, wanting to guide me in my steps. You'll hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," when you would turn to the left and right. And I'm not talking about a desire we have to go out into sin. I'm talking about making decisions every day and needing the Lord's help in those things. And he goes on down when he finishes this up. It says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." There is something that is in this verse. If you from your hearts don't forgive. You know, that's where forgiveness starts, first of all. Maybe not just the heart. It starts with the mind, because the mind is where the offense came to me. I've got to process it. I've got to do something with it. But when it comes down to the heart, where it says, "If you from your hearts forgive not every man, everyone his brother," It's going on down now. I process this information, and I'm doing something with this information. I need to ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to search my heart. The scripture that we use in Psalms 139 is giving the Lord that right to do it. But there is a verse over in Jeremiah 17 and 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, search the heart. You know, I want him to be able to do that. I want him to be able to say, Dan, if you continued in this direction, here's the pay that you're going to get from that. He says to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, I am thankful for his mercy. Because when he searches my heart, he can tell me, you need to make some adjustments or this is going to cost you out in the end. You know, there's some instruction given us. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive yours. I need to have that one right up against, right next to the one where the Lord has had so much mercy on me and forgiven me of such a big debt. And then, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive yours. But you know, it also goes on just a little bit farther than that and gets a little bit more serious than that when it says, but if you don't forgive, and you know, maybe we could go back to the verse where it says, forgiven from your heart. Because sometimes I can just, I know what I'm supposed to look like and talk like, but I want the Lord to search my heart and be able to forgive from my heart. I am thankful for the mercy of the Lord. He's not willing that any of us would perish. I am thankful for the mercy that he shows to us. But I want to look at one more story, because several of these, it seems like negative things. It's telling us the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, and you could be in the 5 foolish or the 5 wise. But there is another one if we took it as this story. In the story of Joseph, all the wrong that has been done to him is given like this Matthew 18 was. All the things that happened into his life. And then it would say, but the same servant, you're not going to believe what he did with what happened here. Because that same servant, Joseph, with all those things that had been done to him, what did he say to them? It was a positive thing. Don't be grieved with yourselves. It was God that put me in this. It was not you, but God. What an attitude to be able to have. You know what? In our life, we can have our story written either way. That same servant, I want you to know it's the same servant that had all these things happen to him before. This is kind of a negative one in the 18th chapter. In my mind, it's almost he is so thankful. He just can imagine his family is not going to be sold now. And in my mind, he's on his way home to tell his family when he sees this other person and forgets so fast how much he was forgiven of. And I say for me, if I get me a choice, and I do have a choice, I would like for my story to be reading like Joseph's did. Yes, we can have negative things come into our life. And here's another thing. It's not within my power to do it on my own. That I'll be able to say, you know what, I can forgive. I can just release things. I can just let them go. You know what, the Lord wants me to be able to come to him and tell him, I need your help with this. But I believe for every one of us, he wants to say, I want your story to write like Joseph's did. Had a lot of trouble come into my life, but I came out of it on the other side with help from the Lord. I don't believe Joseph said, you know what, I always had strong character. I could do good in those things. I think somehow he had a contact with God that whatever happened in his life, he was able to come out on the other side. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto, and there are a lot of instances. And those instances tell us if it's done this way, it'll be a negative thing. if it's done this way, it'll have a positive ending.
Yes.
I want my life to have a positive ending. I desire your prayers.